Welcome to Smashy Business Show. Today I have with me Mohammed Nagati, co-founder of fintech company Halan, which is Africa's largest super app and Egypt's top funded app. Previously, he was the CEO for Nog Investments and a board member for Robusta Studio Egypt, ShopX Go, Kitab Sauti, and commercial partner of Cash Cows. He has 15 years of experience and he had pivotal roles in Kareem. أهلا وسهلا. How are you doing today?
ازيك الأخبار؟ كله كويس؟
Yes, everything is going well. So my first question to you is, you know, what was your journey into entrepreneurship? You know, because most people, they choose a very traditional job. You know, they just have very traditional roles in companies. You know, as you a founder, what motivated you to become an entrepreneur?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having me today. And a small tweak on the intro, I'm now also the executive chairman of Exits.
Oh, that's amazing.
As we are trying to build the largest tech marketplace for financial transactions between companies and build an exchange for startups and SMEs. What motivated me is, let me be honest, since I graduated and before I graduated, I always had a problem to fit in a certain box. So even when I tried to apply for a job, they didn't allow me to into the job because I couldn't answer the interview questions.
Oh, see what you mean.
Yeah, so the fact of how do you see yourself in 5 years, how do you see yourself in 10 years, my answer was, I don't know.
And that's
so they
normal.
Kicked me out. Yeah, so I realized then that, okay, this is not my part of the world. I have to hustle and start small. And then I started to hustle in Fawri, Kareem, and then co-founded Halan. And then I started to, and then I acquired Exits. And I found myself on the other side of the table, which is more into entrepreneurship and building new things.
I see what you mean. And, you know, that point of how you mentioned that, you know, you couldn't answer, you know, those questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Why couldn't you answer those questions?
I didn't understand them. Like, how can I predict myself in 5 years or 10 years? I don't have enough. I'm an engineer. I'm a machine learning AI engineer. This is what I learned in university. And I need data. And I don't have enough data to answer this question. So my answer was, I don't know. And the lady who was interviewing me felt like I was rude. I didn't mean to be rude. I just didn't have enough information
to
ask.
You were just being honest.
I was just being blunt.
You were being
so blunt. So I lost the job. And I also tried to apply for other FMCGs where they had an exam. And I failed all the exams of the entry too. So I found myself, I have to figure out something to do on my own. And this is where I started.
I see what you mean. So basically what happened is, you know, because you're somebody, you're used to data. You need data to make a prediction.
Yes.
When you were asked that question, you didn't have data.
Exactly, yeah.
So
how do you see yourself in 10 years?
I don't know.
Exactly. So if I'm interviewing you now in a corporate, I'll probably tell you, thank you.
Yeah, I see exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, and really what I want to ask you is, what motivated you to start Halan?
Honestly, Halan was not my idea. It was the idea of my two other co-founders, but I joined from the beginning because I came from Kareem, so I had very relevant experience. So when they told me we want to start the company, I was their third co-founder, a bit later than them, because I had relevant experience. But what made me join them is that I felt that Kareem served a certain segment in Egypt and that Halan can serve the underserved segment, which is a bit less fortunate in terms of in the pyramid, they are a bit less fortunate and they are more in quantity. So I thought that this is the opportunity and this is how it can be big. And honestly, now I cannot deal with companies when they become that big. So I left 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and 3 years ago, and a year and a half ago, I started, I bought the other company, which is Exits.
And I just want you to tell us about your experience at Nog Investments, you know, and your role in SME funding. What challenges did you face in that role?
I was very young at this. I tried to consolidate food and beverage brands, and I put some money and I acquired some money from other friends and family, and I started to acquire food and beverage startups and SMEs, and I consolidated them together, and then I sold them to a bigger fund. But it was very hard because what I wanted to do is to have a common back end, like the HR, the tech, the finance to be consolidated. And this was very hard. And honestly, it was, I think it was the hardest job I ever tried because I tried to put together a pizza place with a coffee place with a donut place together in one conglomerate. And it was very, 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 very tough. I don't think I succeeded even in it, but it was okay. I learned.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you could just develop on Halan, you know, as your role as COO, what do you do?
In Halan, I was the guy on the ground. I was the guy getting things done. So I was the person who pulled off all the partnerships, who pulled off the a big part of the operations on the ground, who pulled off a big part of the regulations. During Halan, I also met with the president in Egypt to be able to ask for things. And so all of this was, I was the guy on the ground executing and getting things done on the ground. So this was mostly my my role in Halan. And it was very tough. I used to work 16, 18 hours a day. I used to crash and burn out. So.
Oh, I see. And, you know, off the ground and on the ground, what is the future vision of Halan?
Halan is now turning, I think the team that's now leading is better to speak about this, but from what I'm, the information I have, it's turning into serving all the underserved in terms of all financial services. And it's giving them all different types of services. But I'm now, my executive role now is in Exits, which is my the company I bought 2 years ago.
And can you tell me more about it?
Exits, throughout my journey, my 15-year journey, we had a very big problem. I personally made more than 10 exits from tech companies. And whenever we wanted to do an exit, it was very hard to do it. And because of the getting agreeing on the valuation, doing the due diligence, the transparency, the papers, and everything. And all the big private equities and big investment banks do not like to work on startups and SMEs because it's sort of the same amount of work, but with much less money. So we are building step by step an automated tech marketplace to do this. And we already did crossing 10 deals and growing and growing. And we want to create the startup and SME exchange. Yeah, thank you very much.
And, you know, speaking of startups, what is your opinion on them in this specific region?
It's very hard to work in startups in this region, and especially in emerging markets such as Egypt, because of the currency devaluations happening and the how hard it is to find talent. It's very hard and scarce to find good talent. But the harder it is, the higher the return. So if you look at the returns from Fawri, it crossed 100 times in 10 years money. And Kareem, it was sold to Uber for $3 billion. And Halan became a unicorn, started less than 10 years ago. And even companies I invested in, like Breakfast, for example, it's another company I invested in, made it also very big. And the Salat invested in it here from the UAE. So startups are very hard, but very rewarding. And you have to accept failure. It's okay to fail, but learn.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, speaking of Egypt, do you think that the inflation in Egypt has affected these startups?
Definitely.
Has it affected you?
Definitely. The inflation affected the startups in a very hard way. It made things very tough, but it helped a company like Exits because startups and companies in Egypt are now much more affordable to people from outside because of the devaluation. So $1, when we started Exits was for 15 pounds. Today it's 50 pounds. Yeah. So if you're buying a company in Egypt that would have costed you $5 million, now it can cost you $2 million. So it's much more affordable and it's a huge market. So it's a great market for acquisition and for investment for FDIs from foreign people. But from Egyptians to Egyptians, it's very tough because if you have your money in EGP, technically, you became much less fortunate.
I see what you mean. How do you look for potential investments in the market? You know, what's the criteria that makes you decide that this is a good investment?
I'm also happening to be an LP and an advisor in a fintech fund called Disruptic, and they're also part of Cash Cows, which is an accelerator. So I sit on the investment side and I angel invest. It's all about the founders and the people. They have to be people who can pivot when there is a problem, who spot a solution and fix it. And they are not, it's not about them, it's about the team. So yeah. When the startup is about one person, it fails. It has to be about a vision and a team. And whenever the founder or the founders feel that they are not the right people to run it, they have to be able to step back and get more experienced people. Because me, myself, I'm good in the first step.
Yeah.
But I'm not good at managing bigger companies. So I myself, in most cases, I stepped down and left it to other experienced people to run it. Maybe in the future I can be the man running bigger companies, but you have to know when to move out and when to move in.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You know, I've read before, Mohammed, that, you know, with growth in companies, there comes inevitable problems.
Yes.
And do you affirm to this?
Yeah. Like I always tell them I'm not a good manager. I'm a good builder.
I love how you're honest.
Yeah. So I get people who are better than me to do what I don't know how to do.
I see.
And all I do is they manage me, although I might be a bit senior, but they manage me and tell me what to do. It's called the push-up management, where the more senior are managed by the less senior. Because the less senior are actually on the front lines and doing the real work. So my role becomes to provide the resources that I can provide to make the team function, but not to actually execute.
Yes.
And you have to know when to, it's like, you know, manual shifting with the pedals. You have to know when to change gears.
What do you think about any potential startups in Dubai?
Honestly, I'm now looking for AI investments in the media. This is something I never said before. And I set up a media company in Abu Dhabi, in the free zone, where I want to use to start investing in platforms and media that embed AI. Because I think that AI will be very expensive for startups to do or to build, but it would be very smart to utilize the AI built by the big entities like NVIDIA, Microsoft, Google, whatever. So the media companies are the closest, because the ones that will utilize AI will be able to leapfrog everyone else, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And nowadays, we're seeing that the media, it's taking on the world.
Exactly.
And what I really wanted to ask you is, how has the digital transformation of the world, how has it affected startups? How has it affected your businesses?
Honestly, to many people, COVID was a bad time, but in business, I mean, COVID and the lockdown. But to us in tech, we had our best year, although we lost some people that we loved. But so on a personal level, it was very hard. But let me be a bit capitalistic here. On the business side, the tech leapfrogged because people were locked down. They had to find ways to pay without touching each other, to do remote work. So we saw all our companies going like this. But after the lockdown was removed, they went down a bit and plateaued. So the digital transformation helped us on all levels and helped me as a person to reach people through media. I became more and more focused on my digital presence because I felt that I have to market for my things. And if I cannot market for my things, no one will do. So I have to be there. And I have to be everywhere as much as I can. So I learned TikTok. I didn't know TikTok.
That's amazing.
I grew my Instagram. I couldn't use Instagram. And I started to learn. I went on podcasts. I'm sitting with you now. I'm an introvert. So I trained to become...
an extrovert.
Not an extrovert, but a trained introvert.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, previously you told me that, you know, in those interviews, you were rejected, which I find very... right now, it's very hard for me to believe this because I'm personally speaking with you right now. And just to touch upon that, you know, what are the personal habits that you have that have led to your success?
I'm very stubborn to the extent that harms me a lot. I don't care about taking credit. I care about getting to the solution. Whoever takes the credit takes it. If I take it, okay. If someone else, I don't care. And honestly, the thing I'm learning with the years is to be able to let go.
Yeah.
If a company is losing money, I'm okay to write it off. If a company is not doing well, I'm okay to leave it. Being attached to something is like being attached to something that's harming you,
yeah,
if it's bad. So you have to be able to let go to be able to catch something else. And this is what I'm trying to learn along my way.
Wow. So you think that, you know, letting go of your ego, it's an important part of success in the business.
Yeah, your ego and your previous decisions. Like, you don't have to say, I used to think this way, so I have to keep thinking this way. No, you can change your mind. You have new data.
Yeah.
We know now new things we didn't know last year.
Yeah,
and
you're
we can
definitely
change.
Right.
Yeah, it's okay to change. It's okay for someone else to teach you. I sit with many people, teenagers, whom my nephews and their friends, and I learn a lot from them.
Mm.
They're much more exposed to things I don't know.
You know, I just have a specific question for you.
Yeah, please.
If there is one motto that you have in life, one thing that you say over your head over and over again to keep yourself motivated and to keep continuing, what is it?
I think of life like a company that opens every day in the morning and closes at night.
Mm.
So every day I wake up, I think, okay, I'm no one. It's a new company. I have to do something today. Whether it is, whatever it is. If you think, oh, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, there is no reason to succeed. But if you're, I want to do more, I want to do more,
yeah,
I want to do something.
It's that excitement and positivity that keeps,
yeah,
things going.
And you shouldn't say, we're not living in the history. We're living in the, going into the future. So you don't look back and say, oh, I was in Fawri, I was in Karim, I did, no, I did nothing. I'm no one. I have to start and do something today. And tomorrow, you are as good as your last job. You're,
yeah,
not as good as your whole career. So you have to always iterate and learn, iterate and learn, iterate and learn, or you die.
And just as a final question, you know, for young entrepreneurs, for young people like me, what would you have to say to them?
You are much more, you are in a much better position than me. And the generations after you will be much better positioned than you. When I was your age, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay, I'm double your age. When I was your age, that's 18 years ago, we didn't have, the word entrepreneurship was not there. People were doing business, but there were no conferences for entrepreneurship. There were no ecosystem. There were no accelerators. There were no funds. This was not there. So this is now there. So the things that you can do are 10 times the things I did.
See, I definitely agree with you. I agree with you on that point that, you know, we can do more than
much
you in the
more
sense of that we have so many resources.
Yeah.
But when you have so many resources, it's hard to choose from. You
need
know,
to
it
focus.
Creates competition.
I'll tell you something. Don't let the world manage you. Manage the world. So you,
yeah,
choose what you want and you choose the tools you want to use.
Yeah.
And pick and choose. It's like a Swiss knife, you know, the old Swiss knife. So you choose the things that you need at the time you need it.
Mm.
And it's okay to change. But you're very lucky to be young.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. But, you know, as a young person, something that I'm finding very difficult is nowadays, I don't know if you've noticed, but there are many young people who have startup companies. And they're very successful from a very young age. From
Which
like
is
21,
great.
22.
Which is great.
But don't you think that, you know, makes the market more saturated, that it becomes more difficult to succeed?
The market will expand. The market will grow. You can go into other markets. You can go into other verticals. You can work with those successful people for a while and learn and then do your own thing. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah. I definitely
Take
agree
Take your
with
time.
You.
Enjoy your time and work hard. But don't let it go into you. Work without focusing on money, focus on value and focus on improving things. Like,
yeah,
I like to see jobs being created and people getting extra money from whatever I do. I don't care about me, I care about them. And this is genuine. So
yeah,
this is what gets me up in the morning.
That's a very refreshing perspective,
yeah,
to hear,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
Because you meet a lot of people with businesses, but they have egos.
I have ego. We all have egos.
Yeah, we do.
But I try to, it's like a child. The,
yeah,
ego is like a child, and you have to treat it like a child.
Yeah.
If you hit it, it will be sad.
Mm.
If you spoil it, it will kill you. But you have to grow it and tell it, stop, okay, enough.
Yeah. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you. I
here
enjoyed this
today,
very much.
Ahmed.
Thank
If
you
there
for
is
having
one
me.
thing you could tell the audience today, just as one final thing, what would you tell them?
Dream big and execute well and don't harm anyone and help others because it comes back and it comes back much bigger. And always, 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 always trust God that everything will be okay as long as your heart is in the right direction.
And with that being said, thank you for watching, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.